Good evening. Welcome to 3 Mile Wesleyan Church here in sunny Elkview, West Virginia on this Wednesday night, the 26th day of August 2026. And what a summer it has been. And we just want to welcome our online audience to join us. We've got a handful of folks in the building. We want to welcome all you guys that are watching. And we'd love to hear from you. Watching us on Facebook Live, click that like button. And you want to click that comment button. If you have any questions, if you have a prayer request, we would love to pray for you. Any questions about our church, anything about the Wesleyan faith, we would love to answer those questions. Put them in the comment section, and we'd love to reach out to you. Just got one announcement for the 3 Mile board members. If you're watching in our online audience, board members, be here Sunday, this coming Sunday the 30th, right after our morning message. We'll have a brief board meeting right after that. So make sure you are here for that. All right, let's get moving here. The title of tonight's devotional is The Final Charge of a Dying Apostle. The Final Charge of a Dying Apostle. And we've done some book studies on the books of 1 and 2 Timothy. These are two letters written by the older Apostle Paul to the younger Timothy, full of guidance, full of wisdom, full of direction. And as Paul's time on this earth is coming to a close, he writes the second letter, known as 2 Timothy. This is a year around 66, maybe 67 AD time frame. Paul encourages Timothy to be bold in his faith. He emphasizes the work of evangelism, going out and saving sinners. And he gives Timothy a vision into the future for what challenges await his ministry. So if you would, let's turn into our Bibles to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, as we begin reading tonight. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. I'll be reading from the New International Version. 2 Timothy 4, beginning in verse 1. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. Thus reads the word of God. Father, as we come into your house tonight, we are grateful to have these letters from Paul to Timothy that we can study, can learn more about you, God, but also the final charge of a dying apostle. Lord, we pray that you guide us tonight and help me to teach. In Jesus' name, amen. And there's a whole lot to unpack in just those five verses that we just read there. But we'll go through it quickly for the sake of time. This is a Wednesday devotional. We usually go 15 minutes, maybe 20. You know, sermons are typically 25, 30 minutes, but we try to keep it 15 minutes on Wednesdays. So the first thing we learn is that Jesus Christ is the one who judges all of mankind. It says Jesus will judge the living and the dead. And we know from other scripture that those of us who are believers, those of us who are born again, will go through a different type of judgment than the wicked and the unbelievers. The unredeemed, we know, the unredeemed will endure the great white throne judgment, where all of their deeds will be exposed and they will be judged appropriately. But for us, but for the believers, we will go through what's called the Bema Seat Judgment. Sometimes it's known as the Mercy Seat Judgment. As we read in the books of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, they describe those. In the Bema Seat Judgment, we will not be condemned for our sin. No, our sins have been paid for. But rather, Jesus will appraise the works of every believer. It's kind of an evaluation. Believers have already been declared righteous in the eyes of a holy God. We've been declared blameless because of the blood of Jesus. So we will not be judged for our sin the way that the unredeemed do. And then Paul exhorts Timothy to preach the word. He tells him, always be prepared. Be prepared to what? Prepared to correct. Prepared to rebuke. Prepared to encourage. All carefully and patiently. The words being used here are also would also be used to get a soldier prepared to go into battle at a moment's notice. Paul says, be on your guard for a surprise attack. Paul says, preach the word. Preach it when it's popular and convenient, but also preach it when it's unpopular and inconvenient. Preach the word. And Paul then explains to Timothy what his ministry is about to see in the near future. You know, in the early church, if you read the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, I think it was 3,000 people came to know Jesus on the day of Pentecost. And then you read through the book of Acts, and it's just like people are coming to the believers in the early church. Thousands and thousands of people coming in repentance and faith at the preaching of the gospel of Jesus. The message of the gospel is powerful and is often accompanied by supernatural miracles. In the early days, people came to the Christian faith in droves. But now Paul says, the time is coming when people don't want to hear the truth. On a side comment, I would say that statement has never been more true than it is today. Paul said, a time is coming when people do not want to hear the truth. And we see it all around us. False teachers, false prophets, they abound as they share a false gospel. Not for the purpose of saving sinners, not for growing God's kingdom, not for building the church. No, no. For the purpose of gaining fame and fortune. Well, how exactly does it work? How do these false teachers get people? How do they convince people to give them their hard-earned money? Well, Paul answers that question in verse 3. We just read it. And by the way, it's the same answer. It was true back then, and it's true today in the year 2026. The general public doesn't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about judgment. They don't want to hear about hell. No. No, those topics are way too controversial. You better tamp that down. You better sugarcoat that. Paul says, these people will surround themselves with teachers who will say all of the positive things that their itching ears want to hear. And Timothy may not know it at this point in his ministry, but some people will actually turn away from the truth of the gospel in order to embrace a more friendly, more politically correct ideology that sounds good. It's less confrontational. It's easier than telling people that they need to repent to a holy God. Paul says, Timothy, the time is coming. He says, you're going to see it in your lifetime. This is what's going to happen to the church. And then we saw in verse 4. Verse 4 says, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Paul says, it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Paul says, Timothy, be prepared for this moment. It's not going to be easy, he says, and he uses the word hardship. Paul says, Timothy, you've got to keep your head, keep your cool, keep preaching the gospel, stay true to all the duties of your ministry. And I would say it is so unfortunate that so many people are willing to exchange the truth of God for a lie that comes straight from the pits of hell. It is unfortunate that people will reject truth and instead embrace myths and conspiracy theories. It is unfortunate that people will rather accept a comfortable lie over a harsh truth. Paul tells Timothy, this time's coming. It's coming in your church, so be prepared. And then the Apostle Paul reveals that the vast majority of his days are now behind him. You know, we use this expression at work. If you're at the point in your career where you've got more years behind you than what years in front of you, we say this. We say we're golfing on the back nine. So for those of you who understand golf, when you golf 18 holes, there's the front nine and there's the back nine. And if you're golfing on the back nine, that means there's more holes behind you than holes in front of you. I think y'all catch my meaning on this. Paul says, I'm golfing on the back nine, Timothy. He says, I don't have that many days left. And Paul gives Timothy the final charge of a dying apostle as we continue reading in verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Oh, I'm sorry, I went too far. Sorry about that. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul says, Timothy, my time is quickly coming to an end. So I'm passing along lots of instruction, lots of advice, so that you will remain true to the Word of God and be prepared for a battle with the world. So you can hear the challenge here, the final charge. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. Timothy, guess what? Fight the good fight. Paul says, I have finished the race. Hey, Timothy, guess what? Finish the race. Run the race. Paul says, I have kept the faith. Timothy, you need to keep the faith. And finally, Paul tells Timothy that for all of his hard work, there is an award in heaven that awaits. An award in heaven. Paul says, by the way, I'm getting this award. So let's just say Paul had some special insight here as the writer of the book, as the Holy Spirit inspired him to write this. Maybe he has some divine insight into this. Paul says, I'm getting this award. I'm getting it. And you can too. Let's finish tonight's devotional by reading verse 8. I've started to read it already. Sorry about that. Reading verse 8 as we discover what this special award is that God will give to His children. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for His appearing. Paul describes a crown of righteousness which is available to every single believer who looks longingly for the return of Jesus Christ. Paul says, it's available. And he says, by the way, it's already in store for me. He says, I'm getting it. I think this is funny. He says, I'm getting it, and so can you. And the word here that's interpreted crown, they can also refer to a special garland, adornment that was placed on the heads of certain people. They would place them on the heads of, you know, special dignitaries or on the heads of athletes. If an athlete, you know, won a championship, they would put that garland on his head. Or on the heads of military officers after winning a great battle, they would adorn them with this crown, this garland. And this crown of righteousness is one of five crowns that the Bible describes, all of which are available to Christian believers. By the way, the first time I heard this was, I think it was in Sunday school class. I was probably a young teenager. And our teacher says, hey, did you know there are awards that will be given out in heaven? Five crowns. And he says, every single person, every one of you guys can win all five of them. All five of them. So here are the rest of them, by the way. The Bible speaks of the crown of life. The crown of life. That's James 1:12. We're not going to read these verses tonight. The crown of life is James 1:12. The crown of rejoicing. The crown of rejoicing. That's in 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. The third one is the imperishable crown. The imperishable crown. That's found in 1 Corinthians 9:25. The fourth one is called the crown of glory. The crown of glory, that's 1 Peter 5:4. And then the fifth and final one is right here, the one we just mentioned, the crown of righteousness, found here in the book of 2 Timothy. Paul says, "The Lord is the righteous judge." And it's good to know that our labor here on earth, done for the Lord, is never in vain. Our God sees the work that we've put in. And I will say, for all the folks that are here tonight, I know a lot of you have put in a lot of work into this church. A lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of resources. Let me tell you, your work is not in vain. God sees. God knows. God will reward those who have been faithful to Him. Amen. Our Father, He loves to give good gifts to His children. He knows what we need. He knows what we like. And one day in His presence, God will reward those who have been faithful, those who have fought the good fight, those who have run the race, those who have kept the faith. God will reward all of us. I'm looking forward to that day. Amen. I hope you are too. As we close here tonight, Paul tells Timothy, "I'm an old man, Timothy. You're a young man, but I'm an old guy. I'm golfing on the back nine. I don't have that many days in front of me. Most of my days are behind me. What I've got left is much lesser than what's gone behind me." But he says, "Guess what, Timothy? Great things await. Great things await for anyone who puts their trust in the Lord." And I pray that we will take that message that Paul delivered to a young Timothy, and that we will take that to heart as well. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Father God, we are grateful, Father, not only for the message that we heard tonight, the final charge of a dying apostle. Lord, we believe in keeping the faith, running the race, fighting the fight, speaking the gospel truth. God, we pray that you put somebody in front of us, God, in our sphere of influence, put someone in front of us, God, that we can share the gospel with. God, it's our desire that we grow your kingdom. It's our desire that your house would be full as well, Lord. Lord, thank you for these awards that you will give out at the appropriate time. Lord, we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. And Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us. Thank you for blessing our church. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You are dismissed.